أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذرياتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم.
ان آیات کا ترجمہ ہے، اور جب ابراہیم اس خاص گھر کی بنیادوں کو استوار کر رہا تھا اور اسماعیل بھی، یہ دعا کرتے ہوئے کہ اے ہمارے رب ہماری طرف سے قبول کر لے.
دی ٹرانسلیشن آف دیز ورسز از: And remember the time when Abraham and Ismail raised the foundations of the house, praying, Our Lord, accept this from us, for Thou art all-hearing, all-knowing. Our Lord, make us submissive to Thee, and make of our offspring a people submissive to Thee, and show us our ways of worship, and turn to us with mercy. For Thou art oft returning with compassion and merciful. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Today, here in Spain, we have been enabled to build the second Ahmadiyya Mosque. The Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat has been enabled to build this second mosque here. Approximately 7 years ago in Masjid Basharat in Hyderabad, I emphasized the building of further mosques. At the time, it was decided that another mosque would be built in Valencia. Of greater significance than the number of Ahmadis, the reason why I had considered for a mosque to be built in this area, and the reason why there was significance of this area, was for the reason that although Ahmadis in this area may number approximately 130, and there may be more Ahmadis in other areas, nonetheless, this mosque, which was considered to be built after the Basharat Mosque, was for the reason that this area holds a historical significance. Although after a period of approximately 30 years, the Ahmadiyya Jamaat has been enabled to build this other mosque. During this time, there has been a great influx of Muslims into Spain. They built mosques as well. But in any case, it was as a result of Masjid Basharat that a avenue was opened. After 700 years, it was Jamaat Ahmadiyya which Allah the Almighty conferred with the opportunity to build a mosque in Spain. Before detailing the significance of this area, I should also mention that the numbers of Muslims at the present time here is approximately 1 million. It is believed that by 2030, this will increase by 80 to 85%, and will reach near to 2 million, that is, in the next 20 years. 30 years before today, there were a few thousand Muslims who have now reached a population of 1 million. The majority of these Muslims are those who have come from abroad. They have come from North Africa, from Morocco and Algeria, and so on. It is also said that those people are included amongst these who are from the old Muslim tribes. They preserved Islam in them for a long period of time. They were forcibly converted to Christianity from Islam. This was approximately 700 years before today. It is said that thousands from amongst them have reverted to Islam, that is, from amongst those communities and families who were forcibly converted into Christianity, or their progeny were forcibly converted into Christianity. Thus, although there are signs of Islam re-emerging once again in Spain, and with the grace of the Almighty Allah, Muslims are visible in large numbers here. But, as I have already stated, this was initiated through the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. The true Islam, however, will come to the fore at that point when the servants of the Messiah of Muhammad realize their significance and give heed towards this aspect, and they strive to convey the beautiful teachings of Islam to every single person here. Perhaps listening to my words, some amongst you here who think in a pessimistic manner, that Ahmadis are in very few numbers in this area. How will we convey this message to everyone in every vicinity? If, however, we make efforts with a resolve and determination, then even these numbers of Ahmadis can convey the message of Ahmadiyyat and of true Islam to a sizable proportion of the population. Despite reminders to this effect again and again, planning was undertaken which was not followed up with efforts. For this reason, we could not achieve the purpose for which we had set out. Now, the plans given by the center, or that given by myself, or given by Hadrat Khalifatul Masih IV previously, they have not been acted upon. Masjid Basharat is at such a location from where those who travel to Cordoba and beyond see the mosque prominently, because it is located exactly on the motorway. If a means had been ascertained for introducing this to others, then this could have been conveyed to many a people. Many Jamaats who are efficient and work well, despite being small in numbers, have extraordinarily carried out the work of introducing the Jamaat through the means of leafleting. They have introduced the Jamaat and Islam to a very wide scope and vast numbers of people. It may be the case that non-Muslims come to see the mosque in Petrabad, as is mentioned in reports. There are some delegations who also come to visit the mosque. If, however, efforts were undertaken with enthusiasm and zeal, then as a result of the mosque, the introduction of Islam could have been carried out to a degree many times greater. If other Muslim sects who do not even have a proper system and organization can bring back from amongst the progeny of those old families and tribes who are forcibly converted into Christianity, and can bring back approximately 20,000 of them back into Islam, then through our tabligh, our preaching, which is of true Islam, why can those people not come into the fold of the true Islam in large numbers? We have opened the avenue for Islam to re-enter into Spain once again. We did not, however, utilize that avenue with the required passion and resolve, and instead others took avail of that avenue. Thus, there is still time. The Ahmadis living in Spain and also the office holders. This includes office holders on all levels and of all auxiliary organizations. They should realize their responsibility, set their own targets, and make endeavors to achieve that. The true and beautiful Islam that we present, that is a means of drawing the attention of the world today. We need to inform these old tribes and communities who were forcibly converted to Christianity from Islam that this is now the time for you to take retribution for the cruelties perpetrated upon your forefathers. This retribution must not, however, be taken through force or through injustice. Islam's teaching is of La Ikraha Fiddin. There is no compulsion in religion. There is no force or compulsion in Islam. Those who acted forcibly upon you was perhaps for the reason it was their teachings. It is not, however, the teaching of Islam, nor does Islam teach that you should take retribution from any nation or people with injustice. In fact, Allah the Exalted states, the enmity of any nation should not hinder you from acting with justice. Rather, Allah the Almighty states, اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. Be always just, that is nearer to righteousness, and fear Allah. It is taqwa alone that will bring you close to Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty loves those who adopt taqwa. Here there is no question of enmity. Here they are your countrymen. For this reason, you are to convey this message of love and affection to them. Thus, we must inform them that first accept the beautiful teachings of Islam. Then, take retribution in the following manner, that through this beautiful teaching win the hearts of every single person here. Those hearts which were forcibly or through greed or fear were made to remove the love for La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. And forcibly, they were given the teaching of associating partners with God. Instill in their hearts the love of the one God and of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The love of that God whose mercy encompasses all. The love of that messenger who is the Rahmatul Lil Alameen, the mercy of all mankind. Thus, it is our responsibility that where we generally do tabligh or preaching and convey the message of Islam, there we should also search for those tribes and communities. We should then instill in them, in a new manner, the love of the true religion and make them into successful preachers. As I stated, that as a result of the historical significance of Valencia, I gave preference to a mosque being built here. This is because when in Spain the oppressive king and queen began to forcibly convert Muslims into Christianity, Valencia at the time was that location where, despite of this treatment to the Muslims, Arabic was still spoken. The Islamic customs and rituals were established and were being maintained. The Muslims were also, practically speaking, carrying out their worship. They had preserved the Islamic teachings. Whereas in other locations, the Muslims may have lived in communities, but they did not demonstrate anything of the such through which they openly asserted Islam. It is for this reason that at the beginning of the 17th century, the king of the time once again began to expel the Muslims, or those peoples whose families were Muslims. When he started this endeavor, he started it from Valencia. This endeavor he began from Valencia. This was for the reason that, as I have stated, the Muslims here had remained steadfast upon their faith and were acting upon it, or they were implementing it to the maximum degree possible. Although at the time the Muslims were economically quite weak, slowly but gradually they were expelled from the major cities and were moved to the surrounding areas. They had very little property and were poverty stricken. But despite this, they maintained a connection with Islam. In any case, different forces would come here at different times, the Italian forces as well, and they made them a target of their persecution. And as they had decided, they expelled the mature adults from the country. Their children were handed over to the Christians. They then brought up these children in their homes. However, they did not bring up these children as if they were their own children. Rather, they brought them up as slaves. Thus, those children who were stolen from Islam, those children who were born to Muslim homes and were Muslims, without their consent or the consent of their parents, they were stopped from worshipping the one God. Instead of that, they were forced to believe in the Trinity. Today, it is our task that once again we should make the progeny of those children into those who worship the one God. We should not only make those into this, but in fact, every single person here should be made to do so. Every single person here who we love as a result of our love for humanity. Every citizen who lives here, we love. And we love for the reason that we love humanity. As a result of our love for humanity, we prefer for them what we prefer for ourselves. It is for this reason that we are to make them into those who worship the one God, and thus enable them to become those who facilitate and cater for their life in this world and the world to come. Make efforts in this area especially. As I stated, here for the longest period of time, Islam was preserved and maintained, and efforts were made to this effect in this province. Here they do not consider that the expulsion of Muslims was 700 years ago. In fact, it is believed that last of all, 400 centuries ago, Muslims were expelled from this area, or that attempts were made to end the progeny of the Muslims. There is no doubt that after centuries of the Islamic rule being established, its decline and downfall was as a result of their own greed and conspiracies. They did not even show fidelity and loyalty to the Khilafat, which was a Khilafat by name. Nor did the Khalifa or the king do justice to their own responsibilities, nor did the dignitaries or those in authority under them. Then every single person formed their own factions and spheres of influence. After forming these own factions, they attempted to form their own kingdoms. Then the ensuing result that would naturally emerge as a result of such selfish attempts did emerge. But now, however, the Messiah of Muhammad, who is the Khatam al-Khulafa, who, after the Khilafat al-Rashida, the rightly guided successors, are the true upholders of the faith, after whom the system of Khilafat continues. It is the duty of their followers that they should endeavor to restore this lost glory and honor in this area and in this country. In fact, the entire world should be enlightened with regards to the reality of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Its essence should be expounded to the world. Allah the Almighty has enabled us to build a mosque of ours in this area. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the location is also very suitable. This mosque is also visible from the motorway. It is exactly located on the side of the motorway. It is also situated in a new populace. It is an area of decent and sincere people. The neighbors are also sincere and decent. Allah the Almighty has also granted us good neighbors. This is also a great favor of Allah. Thus, we should take benefit from this occasion. We should not just be happy after building this mosque that we have built another beautiful mosque in another city of Spain. Thus, we would need to also look over our state. We would also need to look over our worship. We would need to also look over our responsibilities. In the verses that I recited, Hazrat Abraham and Hazrat Ismail, peace be upon them, have taught us a most beautiful method of fulfilling the right after building the house of God. Alongside this, in order to fulfill the right, they have also taught us the manner of prayers and drawn our attention towards that. We therefore need to give heed towards this. This is so that generation after generation can become those who fulfill the right due to the house of God. Allah the Exalted states that when they were raising the foundations of the Khana Kaaba, they supplicated with the prayer, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Our Lord, accept this from us, for Thou art all-hearing, all-knowing. Thus, this is the glory of a true servant of Allah. Most of all, it is the prophets of Allah who are the nearest to Him and His best servants. Here, they were making sacrifices for years upon years. The father is also undertaking sacrifices, as is the son, and as is the wife also. But they do not assert that we have been making sacrifices for a long period of time, that now we have made this house of yours for your sake and upon your instruction. Thus it is our right that every single sacrifice of ours should be accepted today, and after accepting which you should grant us ease and comfort. It is not the custom in the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, but it is amongst other Muslims, that they make minimal sacrifices, and after making the sacrifice, efforts are made that the sacrifice should be announced. They make very trivial sacrifices and they are announced in the mosques. If they make a major sacrifice, then they are extremely proud. The example, however, that Allah the Almighty has set before us through these two prophets of Allah, it is that the son, for the sake of Allah the Almighty, is prepared to be sacrificed. The father, for the sake of Allah, is prepared to sacrifice his son. All of this is occurring at a time when the son is of a young age and the father is at an old age. The level of sacrifice continues further. For a long period of time, the wife and the son are left to make sacrifices in a deserted location. In that place, there is a strong possibility that both can lose their lives, that is the wife and the son, as a result of hunger and thirst. Then the time ultimately comes when Allah the Almighty accepts the sacrifice of the wife and the son. If they previously did not have provisions, they are then conferred by Allah the Almighty with provisions for food and water. Then, upon the instruction of Allah, they begin building the Khana Kaaba. Further, there are only two persons for this task. They pledge that alongside the building of this Khana Kaaba, all avenues of return are closed upon us. Now, our only purpose and objective is Allah the Almighty, and to populate the house of Allah the Almighty. It is to form such a populace who come to this house of God, who are of the Mu'mineen, the believers, who are of pious persons, and are of those who remember Allah the Exalted, of those who discharge a due right of worship to God, that they have to make such a populace of worshippers who reach the heights and the peak of those who worship Allah the Almighty. These were thus those persons who, upon the instruction of Allah, were constructing His house. This is their state of humbleness and love of Allah that they then pray that, O Allah, accept this sacrifice and effort on our part. They prayed that through your special mercy, confer it upon us, accept this from us, because through this acceptance we will become nearer to you. This, therefore, is the lesson of sacrifice for us. They then submitted in humility before Allah the Almighty and supplicate to Allah the Exalted for that sacrifice to be accepted. This also is the principle that we must keep before us at all times. This is that Abrahamic and Ismailic thought which today is drawing our attention towards the point that we, who in the current age, attribute ourselves to the Abraham of this age, who in perfect obedience to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as a result of his complete love and affection to him, was conferred with that honor from Allah the Almighty, that he was the Ibrahim or the Abraham of this age, who once again re-established the wall of the faith. We bear witness and we see every day how this was re-established. If one implements it properly, his circumstances change altogether. How he brought about the splendor of the faith of Islam, once again made it great and glorious, and showed that to us, that even non-Muslims began to say that if this is the Islam that you present, then we take back the words we said against Islam. Thus, once again, today through this Abraham, the objectives of the building of the Khana Kaaba are being fulfilled. The light of the beautiful teachings of Islam are also becoming manifest to the world. It is to fulfill these very objectives that every mosque we build in the world testifies to. And this should be the case. This also is the objective of this mosque today, which has been called Masjid Baitur Rahman. This is a demonstration of the endeavor to fulfill that objective. Thus, while this mosque draws our attention towards submitting in humility to Allah the Exalted and drawing our attention towards the purpose of building the mosque, there it also draws our attention towards fulfilling our pledges and discharging our responsibilities. If we fulfill our pledges and discharge our responsibilities, it is only then that we can achieve our objectives. We proclaim that, O Messiah of Muhammad, O the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the oath of allegiance we have pledged with you, that we will give precedence to our faith over the world, and that we will convey the oneness of Allah to all. As a result of the building of this mosque, therefore, the attention of the world that will be drawn in this direction, and the new avenues of preaching that will open. Discharging all the dues and using all our capabilities, we will establish the oneness of Allah and bring everyone under the banner of the Holy Prophet. This will be our foremost responsibility. Therefore, O Allah, O the all-hearing and all-knowing God, hear our supplications and grant us the ability to fulfill our obligations. May this mosque become a means of achieving those objectives which are the objectives of building your house. You are Alim, you are the All-Knowing, you know our weaknesses. Whilst listening to our prayers thus, overlook our shortcomings. Make us into those who fulfill the objectives of the building of this mosque. The beauty and the scope of the mosque will be beneficial to us at that point, when we become those who fulfill the right of the mosque. In order to discharge the right of the mosque, where we will populate it and become those who worship Allah the Exalted, there we should also become those who fulfill the rights due to mankind, that we become those who promote love, affection and brotherhood. This is for the reason that we can practically demonstrate the beautiful teachings of Islam. This is for the reason that the people's attention can be towards us. so that the world can try and understand the beautiful teachings of Islam. O Allah, you are the one who listens. Also listen to this supplication of ours. More than the outward beauty of this mosque, beautify the spirit of those who enter this mosque. In essence, it is the spirit of the building of this mosque, if which, in the true sense, develops within us, we can become those who obtain the objective for which the mosque was built. As I mentioned, when Muslim governments ruled over for centuries here, they built extremely beautiful mosques. For example, there is the mosque in Cordoba, which astonishes a person who sees it. There are similarly other mosques built wherever the Muslims were populated in, for example, in Ashbelia and Granada. When, however, the true spirit of the teachings of Islam vanquished from those who entered into the mosques, then those very mosques from where the name of the one God was proclaimed were either demolished or they were converted into abodes of shirk, associating partners with God. Look at the Cordoba Mosque. One is marveled by its beauty and durability. Despite centuries passing, there has been no effect in the least upon its beauty and durability. Unfortunately, however, it has now been converted into a church. As I mentioned, the essence is not the outward structure and building. The essence is the spirit, which is found in those who enter and populate the mosque. Thus, when that spirit vanquished from amongst the Muslims, those mosques fell into the hands of the non-Muslims. Thus, if we want to maintain the greatness of this mosque, and most certainly we will preserve its greatness, we also need to make efforts to preserve its spirit. We would have to do this with an endeavor and effort. We would need to supplicate to Allah the Exalted. That, O Allah, go on producing those who preserve the spirit of the mosques. This is so that this can remain the center of the oneness of Allah until the end of time, and that the slogans of Tawheed emanate from here. If our sacrifices are accepted in the sight of God, it is only then that this objective can be achieved in the true sense. We then see in the second verse that the noble prophets did not limit their prayers to themselves whilst building the house of Allah the Exalted. In fact, they extended the scope of their prayers to their children and to their generations after. This, therefore, is the proper manner of prayer, and this is those people who progress and those who are concerned and think about embracing successes upon successes. If this way of thinking and concern is developed, it is then that, inshallah ta'ala, God willing, we will obtain successes upon successes. Then this prayer that enable our progeny or our offspring to remain steadfast upon piety. When one does so, then the purpose of populating this mosque will be achieved. Hazur says that is the Doctor Sahib present, go and see this. In any case, it will be fine, there is no need to get worried, everyone else should sit down, but leave some space there. Lie him down and press his leg, I think he will become fine, the circulation was not adequate whilst he was performing his duty. Hazur says, nonetheless, as I was saying, if we preserve this way of thinking and this concern, then we will obtain successes. We should also pray that Allah the Almighty enables our offspring to remain steadfast upon piety. This is so that the purpose of populating this mosque can go on being achieved. As I stated, sacrifices will be accepted when such people keep on being produced from amongst our offspring who discharge the rights of Allah and the rights due to mankind. When from among our offspring such people keep on being born who worship. And worship in a manner which Allah the Almighty desires from us, and that we pray, O Allah, you have commanded to worship and taught us the ways of how to worship. In the prayer that these prophets also offered, that show us the ways of worship. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا. Show us the ways of worship and sacrifice. There is a need for us to pray this also. It is a reality that the manners of worship and sacrifice can only be understood through the guidance of Allah. Its spirit and understanding it in depth is only born through the grace and blessings of Allah the Exalted. Indeed, namaz, the formal prayer, is also a manner of worship. People do come to the mosque and they perform this worship. However, it is these same worshippers with regards to whom Allah the Almighty has said that their prayers are thrown back upon them. For them, they become a means of destruction. Therefore, while beseeching Allah for His grace and blessings, we need to make efforts to perform prayers which in the eyes of Allah are acceptable. It is not only prayers here. In fact, every deed which is carried out for the sake of obtaining Allah's pleasure becomes a form of worship, even if that may be the huquq al-abad, discharging the rights due to mankind. It is therefore necessary for us to comprehend this spirit. We therefore need to also remember this point. It is only understanding the spirit of worship through which we can convey the message of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, and through which we can embed this message in our future generations. And as Hazrat Abraham, peace be upon him, has prayed, there is a great need to pray for one's offspring with passion and yearning. We Ahmadis, in our gatherings, pledge that we'll be ready to make every sacrifice. Therefore, there is a need to infuse this spirit in our progeny. This is so that for the sake of propagating the faith, groups can go on being prepared to make sacrifice. It should, however, also be borne in mind that in accordance with the changing circumstances, the manner of sacrifice also changes. This is also a meaning of this prayer, وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا, show us the ways of worship. If in Spain the earlier Muslims entered and they performed sacrifices and they came for spreading the faith, which then went on spreading, they may indeed have carried out the jihad of the sword. However, today the sacrifices will be through the jihad of tabligh, of preaching. For the propagation of literature, financial sacrifices are undertaken. For the construction of mosques, financial sacrifices are made. The nature of sacrifices change according to the circumstances. This prayer of Hazrat Abraham, when he said that show us the ways of worship, means that in accordance with the changing circumstances, teach us the ways of sacrifice and worship which can acquire your pleasure. By preserving this prayer, the Holy Quran has given us a principal guidance of Allah the Almighty. Sacrifices must be given in accordance with these circumstances. Sacrifices must be done of the type and the manner which can acquire the pleasure of Allah. It is for this reason that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said to one person that the greatest form of piety was that you should perform the tahajjud. To another person, he said that for you, the greatest form of piety is that you should carry out jihad. Thus, whoever lacks a type of virtue, that virtue becomes necessary for him to perform and becomes the greatest act of virtue or piety for him. That is the most apt type of worship and that becomes the most apt sacrifice for him. Thus, great emphasis has been placed here to make efforts. to pray for oneself and for one's offspring, to remove all types of weaknesses, and to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. It should always be borne in mind that man, through his own efforts, can neither achieve the required levels of worship nor the required level of sacrifice. It is for this reason that this prayer is made, that Tub Alayna, that turn to us with mercy. Accept our virtues and pieties, and may virtues keep on sprouting from us. May one virtue lead to another virtue forthcoming. May sacrifice upon sacrifice sprout from us. May our sacrifices be carried out in a manner through which we desire your pleasure, and not for show or pretense. May this type of worship then become the focal point of our thoughts. We will thus become fortunate when our worship and our sacrifices are carried out in this manner. May we always become those who pray to Allah the Almighty to obtain His refuge from our shortcomings, our weaknesses, and our transgressions. May we become those who instill in our offspring the love of Allah and the love of His worship. This can be achieved in such a circumstance when we develop this love in our own hearts. May we become those who give attention towards fulfilling the rights due to mankind. May we eliminate haughtiness, pride, and hatred. May we become those who remove slackness in our prayer. May we perform every type of prayer with a special effort which appears difficult for us to perform. If there is slackness in our performing congregational prayers, then may we become those who give heed towards performing prayers in congregation. These are sacrifices for us. Those who do not fulfill the right of their parents, may they become those who fulfill their rights. May those who do not fulfill the rights of their brothers, sisters, and relatives become those who fulfill their rights. Allah the Almighty has granted a lofty station to neighbors. May we become those who fulfill their rights. Every Ahmadi should treat their neighbor in such a manner through which they are drawn or attracted towards the true Islam. These are the efforts that should be undertaken by every Ahmadi. In short, when we endeavor to perform every type of virtue and fulfilling their rights, and we perform all types of righteousness, it is then that in the true sense that we can beseech and supplicate Allah the Almighty, that O Allah, accept our repentance, show mercy upon us. We are in need of the mercy of Allah. When we become in need of the mercy of Allah, we would also have to look at others in a compassionate and merciful way. It is not that we constantly beseech Allah for mercy, but in our own spheres we do not act mercifully or compassionately. Thus, if a true believer attaches himself with the mosque in the true sense, the new avenues and doors of virtue keep on opening for him, and new demonstrations of the manifestation of the forgiveness of Allah appear upon him. Thus today, this mosque which Allah the Almighty has bestowed to us should draw our attention, and we should demonstrate this. Those living here must fill this mosque themselves, and through their children they must also fill this mosque, inshallah, God willing. Whilst fulfilling the right of this mosque, they must populate it. The purpose is not only to just build a mosque, but it is also to fulfill the right of the mosque. May Allah the Almighty enable all blessings and graces which are attached with the building of a mosque be obtained by us. May Allah the Almighty accept our repentance and may forgive our mistakes. It is mentioned in a hadith that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as narrated by Hadith Abu Huraira, said that, "Shall I not tell you that act through performing which Allah the Almighty erases all errors and elevates one's rank?" When the companion said, "Yes, please inform us," the Holy Prophet said, "Even if one does not feel like it, he should fully and properly perform the ablution, he should get emphasis towards going towards the mosque. That in short, after performing one prayer, he should wait for the next prayer. This is safeguarding and protecting the borders. That is, safeguarding yourselves and protecting yourselves. This is the jihad for you. Therefore, every single one of us needs to give heed towards this. Today, there is a need for us to carry out a jihad of the self. We need to attain this objective. The purpose of conveying the message of Allah is also a form of jihad, which we need to give heed towards. Without the help and succor of Allah, we can never be successful. The grace and blessings of Allah is obtained through fulfilling the right of His worship. Thus, when we safeguard our worship, we will become those who obtain His blessings and grace, and we will become a part of those who carry out the jihad of the self, and also the jihad of propagating the message of Allah. In the current day society, man is in greatest need of this type of jihad. It is this very jihad which can save us from the vices of society and make us those who submit to Allah the Almighty and acquire His pleasure. It is this very jihad which can keep us and our offspring cleansed and pure of the filth of the society. Therefore, take a veil from this blessing that Allah the Almighty has conferred upon you. Whilst purifying and making sincere this mosque, adorn it with your worship, so that you can become the recipient of the blessings of Allah. May this mosque become such that it fulfills its objectives. May we become those who discharge our responsibilities. Otherwise, even before us, a mosque has been built in this vicinity, funded by Saudi Arabia and Egypt. However, the shortcoming in that as a result of not accepting the Messiah Muhammad can only be fulfilled through the mosque built by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. Therefore, this point should lead every Ahmadi to further concern and attention that your responsibilities are continuously increasing. To fulfill the right of this mosque, you need to make great endeavors. May Allah the Almighty enable you to discharge this. I should also present some details with regards to this mosque. The covered area of the mosque is 1,350 square feet. The expense on this was approximately 1.2 million euros. The Jamaat of Spain have only given a very small contribution. Perhaps they did not even give that. In any case, they should honor the promises they made. Further, as I stated, if there are financial constraints, then at least they should fulfill their promises. However, they can also discharge this in the manner that they should enter now into the field of preaching after the mosque has been built. The capacity of the halls here is for 250 people. This is in accordance with the facts and figures given. In any case, the halls are quite big. Other facilities are also available here. There are 7 offices, a library, a bookshop, a very good kitchen, a store, a technical room. Similarly, this entire building has been air-conditioned. There are separate facilities for ablution for men and women. There was already a place of residence here that has been extended further by 2 rooms, in fact by 3 rooms. Recently, a newspaper has written that the largest place of worship in its province has become a reality. Now, this largest place of worship will take root its true spirit when every single one of us fulfill its right. Another really good point he has written, which is an expression of fulfilling the rights due to others, and which should be demonstrated by every single Ahmadi. He has written that as a result of their devotion to Islam, Ahmadis are against every person who sheds blood in the name of God. Nonetheless, in addition to this, there are two multi-purpose halls beside the mosque, which can be used for the overflow of men and women. May Allah make it so that this mosque proves to be a means of presenting the true picture of Islam to the people of this area. May every single Ahmadi amongst us who lives in this area make an effort to discharge this right. In the construction of this mosque, as I explained, that most of the help was obtained from the center. The technical help was also obtained from the center. Chaudhry Ijaz Sahib, who is our elder and long-time engineer, with great endeavor has arranged for a lot of work. He took very in-depth analysis and assessment in all aspects. He brought down costs wherever they were excessive, but he did not let any compromise come into the standard of quality. He is also ill, and perhaps undergoes dialysis once or twice a week for his kidneys. Yet he has worked with the grace of the Almighty Allah with great determination and resolve. May Allah the Almighty grant him reward, and may Allah the Almighty grant him good health so he can continue working for the Jamaat further.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ عِبَادُ اللَّهِ رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهُ إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر